Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
Good evening. The Declaration of Independence that is the foundation of the The Declaration of Independence is the foundation of the way this country is organized and is run. And it says that all men, meaning all peoples, all men are equal. They are all endowed with certain fundamental rights, including life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And the Declaration of Independence is a very important doctrine in the history of the modern world. It is the basis for democracy, which allows people the freedom to choose how they want to live and the freedom to choose their own leaders and free to choose how to live their own life. So this document established a new set of principles for people. Principles that will allow them to create a life that will satisfy them. And it's a very profound and influential doctrine. And all of us here have had the advantage of democracy for all of our lives. But do we take for granted our good fortune? Do we take for granted the freedom to pursue our own happiness? Do we understand what we are doing or what we should be doing with this opportunity that has come to civilization kind of late, just a couple hundred years before that? People didn't have this freedom. So do we know what we're doing? So what is it that we call happiness that the Declaration says is one of our inalienable rights, the pursuit of happiness? What is it? What is that? How do we understand it? How should we understand what that means? Can happiness be defined? What are its qualities? So the statement about happiness in the Declaration of Independence conditions our understanding of it, and it influences how we live from the way it is stated in the Declaration of Independence. because the Declaration of Independence says that it is our right is the pursuit of happiness. In other words, it characterizes happiness as something to be pursued in order to be attained. You have to pursue it in order to have it. That's what it says. That's the wording. And so, what we have in the world is most people living their lives this way, seeking, working to attain something to make them happy, which means, if you think about it, it means to attain something later. Attain means you're going to get it later. So we attain something later, and so therefore we will be happy later. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. You have the freedom to pursue it with the assumption, with the implication that you don't have it now, you can pursue it. And we live our life that way, you know, without really understanding what we're doing. We're pursuing something called happiness, assuming that we really don't have it now. So when we think about this approach to happiness, we realize this is very foolish. Because if we are told we can pursue happiness, it means you can't be happy now. You have to pursue it. And that's the way most people are living their lives. We're pursuing this ideal called happiness. Buddhism, our practice says that pursuing happiness is a big misunderstanding about life and about reality. Buddhism would say this is a delusion. A delusion means we see things, but we see things as they appear to be, but we don't see them in reality. So Buddhism says, look closely if you want to recognize the real nature of happiness. Look closely. So in the developed societies of today's world, a characteristic of the lives that people lead is it's an emphasis on acquisition. As civilization advances, as we become more sophisticated, we develop an ambition for material things. And we also develop an emotional ambition. So in the modern world, we are oriented towards acquiring various things, material and emotional. We are oriented to acquiring things beyond what we need to feel safe and be comfortable and be satisfied. And when we study Buddhism, we realize that one of its messages is you already have everything you need. And we suffer because we don't understand that, and we think we must pursue and acquire. It's the problem of the modern world. Well, we do have to acquire. part of our life needs to acquire things. It's a necessary part of life, necessary to survive. But if done in a spirit of taking care, and not just for ourselves, then there's no problem. So we should be like a bird that's seeking twigs to build a nest for her babies. Or like a fox who's seeking food for its new babies. And when we reach a certain age, we leave home, we seek an education, we seek work, a place to live. So in order to take care of ourselves, we do need to acquire such things as an education and a place to live and some kind of work. We do have to acquire. But unlike centuries ago, the basics of life are pretty much available. We don't need to hunt and gather all the time like our ancestors did. And yet we seem to be promoting acquisition as a valid way of life. It's almost a philosophy, you know, a belief system, a creed to live by. I have to acquire. It's my religion. And this is part of the problem today. We feel we need to acquire more than what we need, more than or beyond simply taking care. And this creates confusion, piling on what we really don't need. And it is the cause of anxiety without our understanding where it comes from. So, in Buddha's fundamental teaching, the first truth of suffering includes to not get what one wants. To not get what one wants is suffering. Or to lose what one has is suffering in the same way. So Buddhism emphasizes that the way out of suffering is don't pursue. Don't pursue things that you don't need. This is the teaching. In other words, put an end to having your life be driven by desire. So the practice started with monks living in a very secluded life, separate from the everyday world. And through the ages, in India, China, Japan, the monks, Buddhist monks and Zen monks, lived in monasteries where there was no possibility of pursuing anything, no possibility of acquiring anything. So they were training themselves to let go of this obsession with acquiring things, to let go of pursuing happiness outside of the present moment. That's what the training was about. So Buddhism says, let go of greed, which creates desire. And let go of an attitude of pursuit. And in that way, you can end your suffering. So we have this practice, and we practice so that we can see things as they really are, see through our own delusions, and discover how we can end our attachment. So instead of emphasizing acquiring, we emphasize taking care. We emphasize taking care of what's in our immediate reach. We emphasize taking care of the people we know. We emphasize taking care of the place that supports us. This is the emphasis of the Buddhist practice, rather than acquiring things for ourselves. So in our practice, we learn to accept what we have, and we learn to be satisfied with what we do. We learn to make our best effort in all circumstances and to accept what happens without complaint. So, our practice leads us to put an end to suffering by enabling us to go beyond today's or yesterday's disappointments. And going beyond disappointments means we don't stay sorry for ourselves if we don't get what we want. So, contrary to popular belief, happiness is not about obtaining as much as possible. Not striving to collect everything that's available. When we first moved in here on this property, there was a taqueria, a Mexican taqueria, on Old Middlefield on the corner. It's now condos, of course. And they were famous for their burritos, this little place. And when you went to get a burrito, you got online and they asked you, what ingredients do you want? And they had all these ingredients in these hot plates. And you could have some of everything, you know. And if you weren't careful, you wouldn't be able to carry it. It looked very exciting, all these things, all these food items. And you could have any all of them if you wanted. You're free to be as greedy as you wanted. And so, if you got a little excited about the prospect, there was a tendency to fill up the tortilla, you know. But there's a limit. And if you put in too many ingredients, you just become sick. So when I first started practice and had the these concerns. I felt there were so many things I needed, wanted, had to have, necessary for myself, for my family, and so many things. And it made me a little anxious, you know, always pursuing these things and never crossing them off my list. I was told, well, you already have everything you need, which I didn't understand at the time. Fundamental teaching of Buddhism, we already have everything we need. I didn't understand that statement, and I felt it was impossible to have everything. That's not possible. Too many things. I wanted all the fillings for the burrito. Sometime later, I started to understand that to have everything you need really means to have the capacity to have big mind, to see things as they are. Then you can understand what it means to already have everything you need. When we recognize, when we finally understand that we do have the capacity to see things as they are, beyond our delusions, beyond our assumptions and biases, when we realize we do have that capacity, then we are no longer troubled by the small mind or the mind that is so intent on acquiring. To realize we have big mind, to realize that we have the same mind that Buddha had, wow. Then we are no longer worried by acquiring things. And happiness, pursuing happiness is not an issue. Pursuing happiness doesn't compute. So that's the sort of wisdom that comes to us when we can, as we continue our practice. So happiness does not mean that there is no difficulty. Sometimes we think that if these problems would go away, I would be happy. But happiness doesn't mean that. So through our practice, we learn that if a difficulty, a problem does occur in our life, we accept it and we take care of it without complaining. That's happiness. No complaint about what it is we have to take care of. That's happiness. On the other hand, if we complain and we say, well, why did this problem happen to me? Or, what is this? This is not what I want. If we make demands on life like that, it gets nowhere. Making demands on life cannot lead to happiness because it is a selfish idea. The best way to be happy is to be unselfish and appreciate what we have, which includes our difficulties. When we can include our difficulties in our happiness, then when a difficulty arises, we will not suffer. But if we continue to pursue or to try to acquire, we are actually turning our back on our true nature, turning our back on our understanding, turning our back on our composure and turning our back on our peace of mind, which is what we really want after all. So instead, we should just practice without any idea of gain. And in that way, we can learn to express our true self. So rather than try to pursue some kind of end result that we think will make us happy, instead we practice simply by engaging our body and our mind in our current activity. We immerse ourselves in the process of doing in the present moment. Then there is no concern about the future or what we can acquire. And that's where peace of mind comes from. Peace of mind, you know, is good. It's good under all circumstances. Whether things are going well or we're having difficulty, if peace of mind is there, no problem. But peace of mind can only come if we give up the pursuit of things and of personal fame.
This talk was brought to you by the Canando Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.